Hello and welcome back to Well Talk, a podcast from VWell. Now, there's a lot of talk when it comes to mental well-being, when it comes to physical well-being, but not really enough talk when it comes to financial well-being. So we're going to get into that today with Alison Sultani from Leap Savvy Savers. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Faris. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, financial well-being is obviously a big topic, but can you explain a little bit what it means?
Yeah, so financial well-being is so important. For me, financial well-being is having the confidence to make decisions with your money and using money as a tool to help you live the life you want rather than being controlled by money as so many people are.
Yeah, but the thing about that is if people spend money to sort of make themselves feel better, then they're going to be stressed about money because they haven't got enough of it, and that's going to make things worse, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. A lack of financial well-being can have a huge effect on your mental well-being, even your physical well-being. So you can actually see a lack of productivity at work and be affected in the workplace. Studies show that employees actually spend approximately 13 hours a month worrying about money in their work hours. So it can really affect their work, their productivity at work, but it can also affect relationships. So money worries, money arguments, money conflict can actually lead to 40% of divorces.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, relationships as well.
So why don't people talk enough about money? Because I feel like it's one of the most important things in life, but you sort of want to pretend that it's not a big deal. Like, yeah, we'll have that dream wedding. Yeah, we'll have that beautiful house, this and that. And then it ends. We all know that money's a stressful thing, but we try to pretend like it's not. Why do you think people do that?
Yeah, I think that money has been seen as a taboo subject to talk about. So many people don't want to talk about it. And then people go around thinking that everybody else has it together. Everybody else has it sorted, right? Because they're living in the luxury house. They have the luxury car. They must have it sorted. You know, they're going on holiday two or three times a year. So they must have it sorted. And then there's this idea that, okay, I should follow suit and do the same thing. And then there's a lack of actual discussion about, actually, I'm struggling with money. And I think a lot of people are worried about admitting that. They don't want to seek help. They see that as being maybe weak to seek help. But that can actually cause the problem to get worse. And then people also have a lack of financial education and literacy. So of course, we all know that we need money. Money makes the world go round. We need it to finance our lives. But then do people really know about how to best use their money to help themselves? That's a good question.
And do you think it's also for recovering spenders, for example? Do you think you have the issue of, I've created this image of myself, I'm always dressed nice, I'm always in a nice car and stuff. Doing that, I've put myself several hundred thousand dirhams into debt. And to fix that problem, dig myself out that hole, I need to vastly reduce the image that I've put out. That can be tough for some people.
Absolutely. It is much harder to kind of deflate your lifestyle than inflate your lifestyle. And so lifestyle inflation is a huge problem in terms of when people get maybe a pay rise, that comes with the fancy car and the fancy house and, you know, the fancy holiday. And then it's much harder once you've, like you said, once you've gotten yourself into that debt hole to actually dig yourself out. And, you know, you do have to make some tough decisions sometimes for the overspenders, you know, about what can they reduce from their budget, you know. So it can be low hanging fruit, like it can be subscriptions that you haven't used for 6 months. They can be easy, right? We can cut them. But when it comes to the big spending categories, things like your housing, how your transport, how you get to work and back, groceries, food, eating out, that kind of thing, can be education expenses if you've got children, very expensive in the UAE. Cutting those back can be really hard for people. You get used to a certain lifestyle. But what you have to ask yourself is the worry about money, is that going to outweigh the benefits of this lifestyle? And I think that's something you really have to ask yourself, a tough question, okay? I know for me, if I was in debt and that was keeping me up at night, it wouldn't matter that I was driving this fancy car to work, right? Or going on this fancy holiday, because that money worry, we talked about the effects it could have, right? It can lead to breakdown in relationships, mental health issues, can even then lead to physical issues, all right? So I think that those effects can be far reaching and something that someone might have to ask themselves if they are in debt, but they have this sort of luxurious lifestyle.
Now, I will make it clear, that I do think a lot of companies, a lot of business owners, a lot of employers try and use this whole budgeting and be smart with your money thing as a cop out because they're not paying their employees enough. But you did mention to me before we started recording that somebody that makes 15,000 dirhams and somebody that makes 100,000 dirhams per month have a lot of the same problem. So it isn't always about how much you're getting paid. What is the thing that they have in common?
Absolutely. You are so right. The level of inflation has increased recently. The cost of living is higher. So 100%, we have to acknowledge that. Things are expensive, right? The UAE is an expensive place to live. So that definitely has to be acknowledged, okay? Income is one of the levers that you can pull in terms of your finances. There's two levers that you have that you can pull. Either you can increase your income or you can reduce your expenses. In terms of my clients, my coaching clients, I have clients that earn 15,000 dirhams a month, like you said, up to 100,000 dirhams a month, and they come to me with the same problems. So you'd expect, right, someone to be earning 100,000 dirhams a month. From the perspective of someone who's earning less, they might think, well, they must have it all together, right? More money is going to solve all my problems. But it's not always the case, because like we just said, when you have more money, often you can spend more money, okay? So it's about learning to budget that money, learning to spend wisely, and also spend based on your values. So I would never tell someone, don't spend. Don't buy a luxury car if that's something that makes you really happy. Don't spend on a big villa if that's something that you really, really want. But what I think it's important about when we talk about financial well-being, financial wellness, is this idea of what makes you happy, living the lifestyle that you want to live, and your values, going back to your values. It's more about that than any kind of maths or numbers that you could actually put.
It is a question of mindset, isn't it?
Because mindset, yeah.
I like to think of it as different dials. So like you've got different set of dials and that's how much you're paying for different things. So if it's something you don't get, so for me, for example, I don't really care about brand name clothes, don't really care about luxury cars that much. So I'll turn those dials all the way down. I don't really care about the size of my flat, more location. So I live in a small place in a nice area, turn that dial down. But I love traveling, for example. So I'll drop multiple thousands of dirhams, tens of thousands even, to visit Japan, for example. I can turn that dial up because, as you say, it's a bit like dieting, isn't it? If a dietitian says you should only eat chicken and rice and don't have any of the things you like, it's unlikely you're going to stick to that diet, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not going to be sustainable. If you see budgeting as restrictive, boring, if you see yourself as just constantly having to cut back, it's going to lead to a miserable life. Because often, as well, to add on to what you just said, people think that money issues, it's all about the overspenders. But it can also be about the people who don't spend because they're so nervous about spending money and they actually save and hoard all their money. It can also lead to a lack of financial well-being.
And it could also lead to a lack of a fun life. So they're like, why am I doing all this? What's the point of going to work, working 9 hours a day, coming back, saving all the money, I'm not even having a good time. What's the point? And, you know, you should spend on the things that you do like.
Yeah.
However, if you like prioritize the things that you actually enjoy, and then I think you're going to get a lot out of it. So why do people have these weird habits? I think it goes back to childhood, doesn't it?
Yeah. So your childhood, how you were brought up, everyone has a money story from their childhood. And it's actually shaped by the age of 7. So yeah, how you think about money, so basically, like if you grew up in a house where there was a scarcity mindset, so in terms of often your parents would say things like, we can't afford it, we don't have the money. And you heard maybe arguments between your parents or between adults about money, it might lead you to have that scarcity mindset. And that could lead to two different outcomes. It could lead to either you spending so much money, anytime it comes, you spend it because you're scared about money, about having it, you don't know how to handle it, and also you spend.
And maybe the deprivation.
And you're making
up
for your childhood. But it could also lead to that hoarding mindset, and I can't spend anything because I'm so nervous. So you could have all different kinds of money stories from when you were growing up. So it's about facing them and having a real think about what stories you were told as a child and how that might be affecting your spending and your money habits right now. And even that knowledge and that awareness can help you to address that issue, can help you to address, okay, that's why that money trigger's there. Okay, that's why I'm always overspending and I can't really save, even though I have a decent salary and I don't know where it's all going.
Yeah, money is very interesting. And I think I think another part of it is insecurity. So people feel like there's this image, this person is doing very well. But it's so weird to think about that there are people that are millionaires with mansions and cars, but they are millions in debt. And there's other people who've got loads of money, but they don't seem it at all. So you could be any, like, depending on the amount you borrow, you could look like you're doing really well or really badly. So it really skews the mentality. So would you say a big part of trying to budget and trying to get that financial well-being is to stop caring about what other people think?
Yeah, and it's really, really hard to do. But 100% I would agree. I think that you can have, keeping up with the Joneses is very common here in the UAE.
Because the Joneses are struggling as well, but you don't know.
Yeah, absolutely, and that goes back to what we talked about before about money being a taboo subject. People don't really talk about it, all right? I know that from my friends that people are more willing to talk about their childbirth stories in detail than the figure in their bank account.
Their marital problems.
Absolutely. People are much more willing to talk about those sorts of things. So it just shows how much of a taboo subject it is. And you don't really know how well someone else is doing. I always like to think of it as wealth is what you can't see. So if you think of it like that, like people can't see, you know, what your investments are looking like in your stock market portfolio, for example, or your real estate portfolio that you have. So people can't see that. And then what they can see is the flashy car and the expensive house that you own. But the question is that really leading to financial wellness? Is it leading to wealth? Is it leading to happiness? Money doesn't make people happy, really. And it's something that a lot of people think it will. It's the answer to the problems.
Yeah, I mean, a crazy fact is that sports players usually reach the peak of their career in their early 20s. They make millions and millions and millions of dirhams, dollars. I've heard like 80% of them go bankrupt within a few years. And that's because you need to think about the fact that you're 20 and hopefully you get to live to 90, close to 100. Have you earmarked that money for the future? Do you think that's a mistake people make in this country especially? Because it is very flashy. People probably come from a place where they made 10,000 dirhams a month. Suddenly they're making close to 30,000 dirhams a month. Let's go crazy, but they don't think about the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people here, they don't also have the sort of pension or retirement setup that they might have in their home countries. So a lot of people in their home countries might be working and putting aside, their employer might be putting aside money for them. And here, not everyone is entitled to that, and it's not the commonplace thing that happens. So therefore, a lot of people aren't thinking a lot about the future. They want to live for now. And there's that balance between living for now and enjoying your life and putting away and saving for the future, making your money work for you. And I think that is a difficult balance to strike. And it's not an easy solution, but it's something that I think that everyone needs to think about for themselves. Have a conversation with your partner, your spouse, if that's applicable to you, and have a think about, where do we want to be in 5 years, in 10 years time? And are the decisions that we're making today helping us to reach that place that we want to be?
Well, something that you mentioned earlier of it would be nice. It would be nice to have a lot of different things, but I think you need to weigh how nice it would be versus the amount of stress you relieve from yourself by not worrying about money. So, for example, come here to a country like this where you're making a good amount of money. What I keep telling my friends is, if you keep your recurring expenses low, so that means if you cook your own food, if you live in a cheaper apartment, if you drive a cheaper car, you are so rich. If you keep the amount of money you need to function and to be happy, like change your mindset, making what you make, then you are so rich because you can afford so much, so long as you keep your standards a little bit lower, a little bit less luxury. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
I think I totally agree. And I think one way that that people can do that is with gratitude. And it sounds a bit woo-woo and people, but bear with me, because as you said, you can feel a sense of gratitude and appreciation for what you do have. And then I think if you can cultivate that mindset, it can really just dampen the more, 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 the desire mindset, which is so normal for humans, for people. It's a totally normal thing to desire what other people have, to want luxury things, to want comfort. This goes back to when we were cavemen, all right? Because that kind of mindset, having the best, you know, having the best stuff was going to be survival, literally. And then you would be able to, you know, carry on the human race. And here we are, still with that kind of mindset of the more, more, more. And I think that with that gratitude, you can flip it a little bit and think, I'm really grateful to have this ability to make a meal for my family or cook for your friends, host for your friends.
I have a theory I'd love for you to like weigh in on, is that this mentality makes sense. If you have the nicer things, that means you're doing the best, you have the most resources. Mm-hmm. And that was the case quite consistently until they invented credit. And in a place like this, where credit cards are so easy to get with maximum limits, do you think that's where it started to get skewed, that people who look like they're doing well really aren't, and people that look like they're doing more modestly are actually doing much better?
Yeah, because credit is really easy to come by in this country. And there's all kinds of things like the buy now, pay later schemes that are available. So you can have so much more than your sort of income allows you to have with the ability to pay it later. And so, but what you're doing when you're doing that is you're putting pressure and stress on your future self. So it really
suddenly
helps to get in
touch. Suddenly your job's in jeopardy.
Right, it's really good to get in touch with your future self. Is that future self going to be willing to pay up all of this debt? And then, are you ready for something to happen? Like your job, you receive a pay cut, you lose your job,
you meet the love of your life, you need to pay for the wedding.
Have to pay for the wedding, God forbid, have a health issue that you have to deal with. Your car breaks down on the same week that your fridge breaks and your washing machine breaks. It's known to happen, and it usually does happen, that when one thing goes wrong, it all seems to go wrong. So it's about building that kind of bit of a safety net, and having some savings and having some money in the bank can lead to a huge sense of security.
So I think we've touched a lot upon like the mistakes people make, the mindset, and I think that's the first step, is try and change your mindset, not care so much. Figure out what your dials are, what's worth spending on, what actually sparks joy, and what you're spending on just to impress other people. But what are other techniques for people who are struggling to budget, for example?
Yeah, so budgeting. When most people think about budgeting, I think they think about
boring.
Boring, restrictive, I can't do this, it's too hard. So if that is your mindset, it's not going to be easy for you. It's not going to be something you're going to be able to do. But if you can switch that mindset again to budgeting, for me, is something that's empowering, something that's liberating, something that's easy, sustainable, something I enjoy doing. So if I think of it like that, then it's going to be something that I enjoy coming to each month when I do it.
And it is a nice feeling to know that you don't have to worry about, like, you could lose your job tomorrow and you'll be fine.
And you know where your money's going. You have control over it. You are controlling it, because money is a tool for you to control, not for it to control you. So something that people can do is they can, especially for people who get a regular paycheck, can decide before it even hits their bank what they're going to do with that paycheck. And a good strategy to think of is, how much money do I want to ideally save? And you can have a dirham amount or a percentage. So if you have a percentage, you know, you earn 10,000 and you're like, right, I want to save 10% of that money, then what you can do is, before it's the end of the month and the money comes to you, you can go, what am I going to do with the rest of that 9,000 dirhams? Can I actually afford all my bills? Can I save 10% or 20% or whatever it might be? And then you can actually kind of divide and categorize that money before it comes to you. So you've obviously got your big categories, your needs, what everyone needs to actually live. Like, you know, you need to, you need a house, you need housing, you need transport, you need food, clothing. You've got your essentials, but then you've also obviously got things that you want to spend money on. Can get a bit tricky, because what could be a want for you could be something that, you know, what could be a need for you could be something that I don't need. But those are the general kind of areas that you can sort of categorize before that money even comes into your bank. And then you can be in the position that when you get paid, you can transfer the savings directly into a different account that preferably you don't have access to. You can see that building up, get that motivation, get that momentum going. And then, you know, you can be comfortable. Like you said, you know, I've budgeted the rest of my money and I've put it into categories. I know how much I'm going to spend on groceries. I know how much I'm going to spend on entertainment, brunches, eating out, etc.
I mean, there is a concept. I saw a tweet, which I thought was pretty funny, which basically said, I think my mentality of, it's only 50 dirhams every day has put me into the hole that I'm in. Do you think people struggle more with the little expenses you don't think about, the little subscriptions, the coffee every single morning? Do you think they struggle more with that? Or, I want to travel to Cyprus next week, and I haven't really thought about how much that's going to cost over the year?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of both there. Okay. Like if you think about a tiny leak can actually sink a boat. So I think that a lot of people grossly underestimate what they spend. So people might come to me and say, I spend about $2,000 a month, I'd say, on groceries. But when we actually track their spending, it can be more like $5,000, $6,000. And they can be quite shocked by how much they're spending on certain categories. And if that does happen to you, you know, it's not something to judge yourself about. It's just, here, I know the truth now. I know the numbers. So am I happy with that? Or do I need to change it? So that's the important thing. You need to find a way to track that spending, plan it forward, and then track it as well as your spending, track it backwards. But then also, as you mentioned, there's bigger expenses as well. Like I want to go on a nice holiday this year, or I want to buy a house, or whatever it might be.
But you haven't thought about the August vacation in January, have you? So you've budgeted,
exactly.
And you haven't even thought about that.
It's one of the biggest problems that my clients come to me with is, you know, I'm going okay for a few months, I'm putting some money away, and then something comes up. And it might be a holiday, or it might be the school fees, because that might come out only every few months, or the rental check, or whatever it might be. So it's all about, as well as those sort of monthly expenditures, like your grocery trips and your restaurant bills, etc. The other thing you do have to think about is, what do I spend over the course of a year on the sort of bigger, more infrequent purchases, like flights? If you're spending 20,000 dirhams on flights and a holiday, that's something that you probably don't want to come out of one month's paycheck. So I always encourage my clients to actually total that amount and divide it up over the year. And then you've got a real picture of what you are spending. If you add that to your monthly expenditures, then you've got a real, real picture of what you're spending. And then you can actually work with, okay, how much is coming in? How much is going out? In a real situation, and then how much do I have to play with? How much do I have to save?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And it's also like, I like to think of it like losing weight. So a lot of people do like the calorie calculator, and it says, all right, with your weight, your height, you need to eat 1,700 calories a day to lose weight. And they'll do it from Monday all the way until Friday. And then on Saturday, Sunday, they get a case of the you only live once, and they eat 5,000 calories, and then suddenly they've gained weight. So is it the same? Like with the same as that, you want to figure out what you want to save, and then you want to go over that. You want to budget even more for these big expenses that come up later that you haven't even planned for.
Absolutely. I think you're definitely right with the weight loss analogy there. I think that, yeah, you need to have to budget for your monthly expenses, and then what I call the sinking fund. So that's what you're talking about, your larger, more infrequent expenses over the year. But then you also, it's useful to have some money aside for unexpected expenses, you know.
Emergency fund.
Your car breaks down, your fridge breaks, you lose your job. You need some money for that as well. And if you have those sort of pillars, those sort of three pillars, so you're in control of your monthly expenses, your bills, etc., and you can automate them as well. You're in control of that. You put in aside money every month for your larger expenses, so that's not going to come along and shock you. And you're also putting money aside and building up your emergency fund, you've got a pretty good financial foundation. So I like to think of finances as like building a house. So a lot of people, they love to furnish their house. They like to pick out their sofa and their curtains and their tiles, right? But if you haven't got the foundations of the house in place, you're going to have problems. It's going to fall down. But building those foundations for many, many people, that's a boring, messy process. So it can be a lot like that with finances. You need to build those foundations and build that financial strength in order to be able to live comfortably, have more fulfillment, but also build wealth for the future. Those financial foundations are absolutely key.
Now, something I hear a lot thrown around when it comes to financial well-being is the 50-30-20 rule, which is 50% of your salary is your needs, 30% of your salary is your wants, 20% of your salary is savings. And I feel like that is the bare minimum. Like, it's a good rule to sort of have your mind around, but then someone's like, oh, well, I can spend 50% of my salary on needs, so I'll get the place because I can afford it. Whereas it's probably smarter to budget, because everyone's different, aren't they? So can you tell us a little bit about
definitely.
That?
Personal finance is personal, with the emphasis on personal. And that can be a good way to start. You know, there are different budgeting strategies that you can use to start and find what works for you. But that's the key. What's appropriate for you? So it goes back to values-based budgeting for me is much more sustainable, much more useful, much more effective for people. So that's looking at what is going to make me really happy, what's going to make me really fulfilled in spending money on my house or my car versus my goals for the future. All right. And think about your future self, you know, how long do you actually want to work in this job? And you've got to think, even if
that's the thing, the future self, isn't it? Because right now, as a single man who's sort of peaking in my career, I can be like, oh, I can budget this money as if I'm going to be doing the same exact thing for the next 60 years, but
exactly.
I'm not, am I? Later on, I'm going to have children. Maybe I'm going to have a wife who's unable to work because she's taking care of those children. Maybe I'm not going to have the same opportunity. You never know. So how does one communicate with their future self?
Exactly. And that balance is difficult. It's tricky to do that. But yeah, you want to think, okay, I'm doing all right now. I'm happy. You might be happy in your job. You're enjoying, you're going through, maybe you're single, you haven't had kids yet. Maybe your kids are young and they haven't gone to university yet. And you might be happy, but you've got to think, things could change, you know? All of a sudden you could have a boss that you don't get on with, or something happens health-wise, or family circumstance changes. So putting away some money for those sorts of circumstances is always going to build financial well-being and strength. And thinking about talking about it with close friends or with your partner, what do we want our life to look like in 5 years, in 10 years? We're not always going to be doing this job. We're not always going to want to do this job. How can we start to put money aside to save and build for those sorts of things whilst also enjoying life today? And that is the key to financial well-being. That's the key.
You're right. I mean, it might be nice going to brunch every weekend now, but do I want to be working when I'm 70 still?
Exactly.
So you've got to consider these things.
And I always think about putting a good thing to do is to kind of timeline your goals, in a sense, timeline it. So, okay, a lot of people also come to me and they say, I do want to brunch and I do want to have this lifestyle now, but I also want to put money towards my kids' education. And I also want to buy a house, and that's a big expense. And I also want to put money to retirement.
You can't do all of it.
It feels so overwhelming, so then I don't do anything and I bury my head in the sand.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea to kind of timeline and go, okay, what's coming first? So a person who's got a 15 and a 17-year-old child, for example, children, their outlook and their goals are going to be a lot different if your children are age 1 and 3, for example. So it's about thinking about what's going to work now, how much of my sort of savings percentage-wise do I need to put towards these big goals in order to make them happen? And it can happen at different times, especially with the power of compounding. If we are, you know, spending wisely, putting our money, investing it wisely, then it can compound.
Not in crypto, I hope.
No, well, I'm not going to say no. I'm going to say, not going to judge, but I'm going to say that if you want to invest in something more risky like crypto, then
you should be able to afford it.
Is put less than 10% of your overall portfolio, your overall wealth, into some riskier investments.
Amazing. Well, I think we could talk about this for hours. Unfortunately, we can't. So before we say goodbye to you, Alison, what would you say the main takeaways are, if you could give it to us in a very short answer?
So the main takeaways are, money for me is only sort of 10 to 20% numbers and maths, and the rest is mindset and psychology. So you've got to get this right in order to be able to achieve financial well-being.
Amazing.
So I think that's really, really important. It's about the mindset that you have towards budgeting, the mindset you have towards your values, delving into your childhood a little bit. And it might be hard, but having those tough conversations with yourself or with your partner or a close friend about what happened when I was a child, what happened to get me to where I am today, are we happy with our lives right now? How much do we want to save in order to achieve our goals in the future? And then in order to do that, do we need to consult an expert, or do we need to budget differently, use a different budgeting strategy? Do we need to go back to, you know, have we got debt, credit card debt, and we need to go back to an envelope method where you're literally putting cash in envelopes and you're taking it along to the supermarket and you're spending money, which can be really, really useful as a technique, you know, temporarily to get yourself out of debt. What's your situation now? What do you want it to look like? And I think in terms of finances, you need to choose a strategy that is sustainable, easy for you to carry on, even on your worst days. So if you're, you know, got some convoluted method, if you're, say, you're writing every single expense out and you start off doing that, but can you do that when life gets really busy? If that's a method that works for you, great. But if it doesn't, then there's lots of apps out there that you can automate with your bank and it can pull your expenses through. You can use Excel, but you need to find a way that works for you, your personal circumstances, and is sustainable for the long term. So your financial mindset is going to be what's going to help you to build that financial armor build those financial foundations so that you can spend the time picking out the tiles and the curtains and the sofa and the, you know, the pillows and all that sort of stuff that people enjoy doing.
Yeah, so, just think how relaxed you'll be in all aspects of your life if you're not worrying about money. Alison, thank you so much for being on Well Talk, and we hope to see you again.
Thank you so much for having me. I really hope people find value in what we've talked about, and good luck to everybody on their financial journeys.
And as always, thank you so much for tuning in with us, and we hope to see you next time. And best of luck being smart, being savvy with your finances.